Welcome to Audio Notes. I'm David Finkel, Artistic Director of Music at Menlo, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce you to the music you'll be hearing at the festival this summer. In previous seasons, Music at Menlo has presented the chamber music repertoire in a variety of contexts. We've explored the musical traditions of different regions, surveyed the legacies of composers from Bach, Mozart, and Beethoven to Mendelssohn, Dvorak, and Brahms, and examined music's ineffable effects on the listener. This summer, we will focus not on a composer or musical style, but on an instrument whose evolution in the hands of master makers and immortal composers constitutes one of music's richest stories, the violin. A miracle of technology that has not required an upgrade for over 300 years, the violin has been a driving force in the flowering of musical art. After the Cremonese master Antonio Stradivari perfected its design in the early 18th century, the violin acquired newfound power to sing, dazzle, and entrance that enabled composers to realize their musical dreams. From the innovative composer-performers of the Baroque period, through the technical wizards of the Romantic era, to the pioneers of instrumental expression in the 20th century, Music at Menlo's 2017 season celebrates the synergies between immortal composers and great violinists. Audio Notes are designed to enhance your enjoyment and deepen your appreciation of the music. I'll be joined by artistic co-director Wu Han and Audio Notes author and producer Patrick Castillo to offer historical and cultural context to this summer's concert programs, highlighted by examples of the music you'll be hearing at the festival. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you at the concerts.
Concert Program 3 offers Beethoven's final violin sonata as its point of departure into the 19th century. Following a nod to the French virtuoso Pierre Rode, the sonata's dedicatee. In the generation following Beethoven, Louis Spohr would become a standard bearer for the German violin tradition, introducing expressive innovations such as those heard in his double string quartet that gave Romanticism its musical soul. The program continues with music by Ferdinand David, Spohr's prize pupil and muse to the German tradition's most brilliant medium, Felix Mendelssohn, whose Opus 3 piano quartet closes the program.
In 1787, Giovanni Battista Viotti met Pierre Rode, a 13-year-old French violin prodigy. So impressive were the young musician's gifts that Viotti offered to teach him for no fee. Rode quickly became Viotti's favorite student. 3 years later, Rode made his Paris debut, performing Viotti's Violin Concerto No. 13, and was subsequently entrusted with the premieres of his master's concerti Nos. 17 and 18. In 1795, Rode was appointed professor of violin at the newly opened Paris Conservatoire, but almost immediately embarked on extensive concert tours of the Netherlands and Germany. In 1803, he traveled to Russia via Germany, where he was heard by Louis Spohr. By this time, Rode had secured his place as his teacher's heir. Rode played with absolute mastery, noted the composer Johann Friedrich Reichardt. He acquired the original style of his teacher Viotti, particularly his adagio has something endearingly naive, which well reflects his tender mind and character. Another critic stated plainly, "He is the most accomplished violinist in all of Europe." Rode's 24 caprices in the form of etudes, composed around 1815, testify to Rode's dynamism as a teacher in his final years. These caprices have become an essential volume in the instrument's course of study. They are inventive works, technically and stylistically assured. In addition to their pedagogical importance, Rode's caprices moreover document the classical chapter of the instrument's tradition, complementing the compositional era defined by Haydn and Mozart. Thank you.
Beethoven was halfway through the composition of a new violin sonata when Pierre Rodet toured to Vienna in 1812. Beethoven quickly completed the sonata for a performance on December 29th by Rodet with Beethoven's piano student and patron, Archduke Rudolf. What might have been an auspicious collaboration between Western music's greatest composer and one of the finest virtuosi of his day did not, alas, come off successfully. Rodet's French aesthetic and perhaps the onset of a decline in his skills proved a poor match with Beethoven's bold style. Beethoven confided in a letter to the Archduke, "I have not hurried unduly to compose the last movement, as in view of Rodet's playing, I have had to give more thought to the composition of this movement. In our finales, we like to have fairly noisy passages, but R does not care for them, and so I have been rather hampered." End quote. A contemporary critic agreed, quote, "Mr. Rodet's greatness does not seem to lie in this type of music." End quote. After the performance, Beethoven considered sending Rodet the violin part for further study, but, remarkably for such a hothead as Beethoven, thought better of it, lest he offend such a great, if diminished, artist. Though the intriguing partnership between Beethoven and Rodet never flourished, it nevertheless produced an exquisite work in the Violin Sonata in G Major, Opus 96, the last of Beethoven's 10 violin sonatas, and, in the estimation of the violinist Carl Flesch, the most perfect work in the whole series.
Opus 96 eschews the fiery virtuosity of the more famous Kreutzer Sonata, dealing instead in lyricism, delicacy, and refinement. Violin and piano exchange, then lovingly extend, a graceful opening gesture, simply a trill followed by three descending notes, as the sonata slowly comes into being. The sonata defies the Sturm und Drang Beethoven of the popular imagination. Witness the Allegro Moderato's soft-footed second theme. The sonata's second movement, marked Adagio Espressivo, descends from bright G major to warm E flat major, an ideal harmonic setting for its melodic material, sung by the violin sotto voce. Thank you. When this music gives way to a run of 32nd notes, Beethoven takes care to mark the florid passage molto dolce, lest the violinist get too carried away. The movement is thus painted in soft brushstrokes and muted hues. This elegant music proceeds attacca to the ephemeral scherzo, so brief it almost serves as a coda to the adagio rather than a proper movement unto itself. Beethoven casts this disruption to the previous reverie in hard-edged G minor, until a sudden shift to G major in its final measures, as if to assure the listener that the movement's dourness was in jest. The sonata concludes with a set of variations on a lilting Gassenhauer theme, a kind of urban folk song typically found in light operas of the day. Beethoven crafts a robust finale from this seemingly humble material, reimagining it towards a variety of expressive ends, spinning even a fugato variation.
Although his renown has flagged since his death in 1859, the German composer Louis Spohr was regarded by his contemporaries as an equal to Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven. Like Mendelssohn, with whom he enjoyed a great mutual respect, Spohr was a famous polymath, a widely acclaimed conductor and violinist, as well as one of his generation's most famous composers. Spohr had a penchant for experimentation. As a violinist, he invented the chin rest. As a conductor, he was the first to use a baton. An equal spirit of inventiveness is on display with the double string quartet in D minor, opus 65, the first of four such works Spohr composed. In conceiving the unusual work, Spohr said, quote, "I imagine how two quartet groups sitting close to each other should be made to play one piece of music and keep in reserve the A voice combination for the chief parts of the composition only. I was greatly impressed to find that its effect was far greater than that of simple quartets or quintets." Unquote.
The double quartet's Allegro first movement opens with an unabashedly romantic statement, marked by wide leaps and dramatic silences and trills. The wide melodic intervals give the impression of Spohr stretching his canvas. The double quartet medium allows for writing of pseudo-orchestral breadth. By tracing such expansive terrain with his opening theme, Spohr prepares the ear for the rich sonorities that follow. An elfin G minor scherzo in 6-4 time follows, its theme a lightning-quick three-note ascending figure, followed by 6 staccato notes. The movement's central trio section shifts to G major, a galloping rhythm in the second quartet, supports melodic utterances in turn by the first violin, viola, and cello. The double quartet's beguiling slow movement revolves around a tender-hearted cantabile melody, which Spohr uses to weave ravishing 8 voice textures. The brilliant finale likewise demonstrates a keen ear for texture, featuring both interactive passages between the two quartets and powerful statements by the fully integrated octet.
The German violinist and composer Ferdinand David boasted an illustrious pedigree, studying violin with Spohr, who had become one of Western Europe's most renowned musicians. David's elite training distinguished him even into adulthood. On hearing David in 1839, Ignaz Moscheles proclaimed, quote, "This worthy pupil of Spohr played his master's music in a grand and noble style, his own bravuras with faultless power of execution, and his quartet playing delighted everyone with any genuine artistic taste," end quote. But it was David's friendship with Mendelssohn that would prove the most consequential to his artistic life. The two became acquainted as teenagers and played chamber music together. In 1836, Mendelssohn appointed David concertmaster of the Leipzig Gewandhaus Orchestra, a post he held for the rest of his life. In this capacity, David became a major figure in Leipzig's musical culture, playing recitals and chamber music concerts with Mendelssohn in addition to his activities with the orchestra. In 1843, Mendelssohn founded the Leipzig Conservatory and appointed David head of the violin department, where his students included Joseph Joachim. David advised Mendelssohn on the composition of the violin concerto that would become a benchmark of the instrument's repertoire and was entrusted with the concerto's premiere. Following the concerto's premiere, Schumann paid David the strange compliment, "You see, this is the concerto you always wanted to write." David was indeed a prolific composer in his own right, producing 5 concerti and other works for violin and orchestra, as well as numerous chamber works, choral pieces, and songs. In 1839, he published a set of 6 caprices for solo violin, Opus 9. The 3rd caprice is a piquant allegro con spirito in C minor, requiring of the player explosive virtuosity and grace in equal measure.
Composed when Mendelssohn was just 15 years old. The piano quartet in B minor, Opus 3, is an adolescent work only in terms of chronology. It is the last of a set of 3 piano quartets that the young composer chose to be his first published opuses, following the piano quartets in C minor and F minor, Opus 1 and 2, completed in 1822 and 1823, respectively. Belying his youth, the work exhibits the craftsmanship of a fully matured composer. The Opus 3 Quartet constitutes a breakthrough work for Mendelssohn. In its ambitious dramatic scope and the potency of its musical ideas, the work reveals a precocious assimilation of Beethoven's visionary middle period works. Far from derivative of that key influence, however, the quartet likewise presages the distinctly personal idiom of Mendelssohn's later music.
An unsettling theme begins the quartet, peculiarly contoured in the second measure by the Neapolitan or flattened second tone, C natural. The strings enter, not with the expected consequent phrase, but with a nervous murmur, viola and cello ascending by half step. A pair of deceptive cadences extends this weird opening statement, in whose wake follows an unnerving viola solo. The second theme proffers lyricism and good humor, but blighted by fragments of the first theme's ominous Neapolitan turn. ¶¶ Mendelssohn forgoes the conventional sonata form repeat of the exposition. Instead, the movement proceeds headstrong into the più allegro development section, featuring new thematic material and teeming with romantic Sturm und Drang. The quartet's jewel is its andante second movement, replete with exquisite pleasures for the attentive ear. Its opening theme foreshadows the melodic genius of Mendelssohn's signature Lieder ohne Worte, but fancifully ornamented, indebted perhaps to the young composer's studious penchant for the Baroque. A hazy reverie of undulating 16th notes in the violin and viola follows. The piano extends this gesture, underpinning a sweeping dolce melody in the strings. Mendelssohn transfigures the half-step turn that marked the quartet's opening measures to launch the fleet-footed third movement. This blithe scherzo looks ahead to the Midsummer Night's Dream-style scherzi of Mendelssohn's later compositions, its quicksilver piano part, an over-caffeinated moto perpetuo of 16th notes. The scherzo's vitality spills over into the start of the quartet's final movement. Cutting through forte pianissimo string tremolandi, the piano presents a sprightly melody, its ascending half-steps marking it a close relative of the first movement's Neapolitan-colored theme. At the conclusion of this high-octane finale, powered by unrelenting triplets in the piano, that theme is recalled four times. The motif that opened the quartet and resurfaced in the scherzo has the final word, affirming the work as a coherent whole. ¶¶ Audio notes are authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Patrick Castillo, and Wu Han. Additional mastering is provided by Dahong Situ. Musical excerpts on this disc appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations. Pierre Rode's Caprice No. 3 in G Major, performed by Elizabeth Walfish, appears courtesy of CPO Records. Ferdinand David's Caprice No. 3 in C Minor, performed by Reto Kupo, appears courtesy of Naxos Records. Mendelssohn's Lied ohne Worte in D Major, Opus 109, performed by Antonio Meneses and Maria Joao Pires, and Robert Schumann's Adagio and Allegro, Opus 70, performed by Radovan Vlatkovic and Vladimir Ashkenazi, appear courtesy of Deutsche Grammophon. Beethoven's Violin Sonata in G Major, Opus 96, performed by Annika Vafian and Gilbert Kalisch, Louis Spohr's Double Quartet in D Minor, Opus 65, performed by Suvin Kim, Bella Christova, Aretha Jula, Alexander Sitkovetsky, Yura Lee, Paul Neubauer, Dmitri Atapin, and Nicholas Kanellakis, Mendelssohn's Piano Quartet in B Minor, Opus 3, performed by Juho Pohonian, Aaron Keefe, Paul Neubauer, and Narek Haknazarian, Robert Schumann's Piano Trio No. 3 in G Major, Opus 110, performed by Enon Barnaton, Benjamin Beilman, and Torleif Tadayan, and Josef Joachim's Romance for Violin and Piano, performed by Daniel Hope and Wu Han, appear courtesy of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. Brahms's Horn Trio, Opus 40, performed by William Vermeulen, Georgia Flizanis, and Derek Hahn, appears courtesy of Music at Menlo Live. Audio Notes is a copyrighted production of Artist Led.